The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
How will you be remembered? What kind of impact is your life having on others? If you died tomorrow, how would others remember you? What would they say about you, my friends, after you were gone? Most importantly, what will God Almighty think about your life? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, how will you be remembered? Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, if you personally were to die tomorrow, what would people say? What kind of effect would you have had on their lives? Is your life really worth anything to those outside your family? Do you just go along with the crowd? Do you just blend in? Or do you stand for something? Really stand for something? In opening the session of the United States Senate, Chaplain Peter Marshall prayed these words, and I quote, "Give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for, because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything." End of quotation. Again, my friends, do you stand for something, or do you just want people to like you? Do you just want people to think you're going along? You're just a good guy. Notice what the Gospel of John says about this type of attitude. Think about what the Bible says regarding this attitude. Again, I ask you, check up on me. Prove these things. Go get your Bible and be sure of what the Bible actually says. Notice the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and beginning in verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers of the Jews back here, many believed in Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." They might have got kicked out of their church. They might have gotten kicked out of their lodge, their society, their group of friends. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." End of quotation. Think about that. These people let men get in their way, and we must not do that. If Jesus had just gone along with the crowd, he might have ended up becoming a Pharisee or Sadducee. Instead, Jesus Christ, in order to be your Savior and mine, had to go against the crowd, even to the point that they crucified him. During the American Revolution, Patrick Henry uttered these famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." If Patrick Henry, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the other founding fathers had just gone along with the status quo, the United States would not even be here. We might never have been born. The United States will not be a great nation, lacking our freedom, lacking the tremendous national growth we have had. As I say, many of you, and perhaps myself, would never have been born. So these comparatively few men had an enormous impact on our lives and on the lives of billions of other human beings all over the earth, because they were willing to stand for something important, and risk their lives. All because these founding fathers were willing to stand up, we have now the greatest nation on the earth, and because they were, of course, willing and unafraid to be involved and to be different, we are here. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus called his church the little flock. Now, most people don't want to be in a little flock. They want to be in the broad way where everyone goes. But frankly, my friends, God's true people have never been in the comfortable majority. They never have been. Notice what it says and what Jesus said back here in Matthew chapter 7. I'm turning now to Matthew chapter 7 and beginning in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in by it, because narrow is the way and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few." Not many, but few who find it. You see, true Christians often have to stand alone in their own family or their own neighborhood or among their own friends. Are you willing to leave the mainstream in order to obey the Jesus Christ of the Bible in order to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord, your boss, your master. When you do, others may look to you and say, this person has demonstrated faith and courage in serving his God. They may remember you that way, even though they don't understand fully why you did what you did. But you've got to stand up. And if we're going to be in the kingdom of God someday, we've all got to stand up that way and think about it. Be willing to go against the stream. Be willing to stand up alone, if need be. Notice back in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, turn with me again if you're following, chapter 3 of Philippians, and notice what it says here, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have had confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews," both his parents were Hebrews, "concerning the law, a Pharisee, of the strictest and perhaps most respected group of the Jews of that day." That's what Paul was. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church." He persecuted the true church of God, the little flock. "Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, going along with all the statutes and judgments and rituals of the law of Moses, he was blameless. He was above reproach, following the letter of the law back there. But what things were gained to me in that society, I have counted loss for Christ." He was willing to give it all up. "But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." He counted them as so much trash, so much garbage, so much rubbish, that I may win Christ. This world is so much trash. It is so much rubbish. And we need to really grasp that fact. Jesus Christ, the one who's sitting at the right hand of God, about to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's got to be way above our friends, our family, our society, and our estimation. Or we're not going to be willing to stand up for the true Christ. We're not going to be willing to stand for the truth in the years ahead. Before you die, are you willing to show both man and God that you will stand for something vital, that you will stand for the truth? At this point, my friends, I urge you to write or call today for an audio tape of this very program. This tape will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. Along with the tape, we'll all send you a free subscription, totally free, a subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, the same name as this program. This beautiful bi-monthly magazine contains important and challenging articles on end-time prophecy, on Christian living, and on the way to genuine success. You'll love this magazine. It's not just saying, give your heart to the Lord. It'll tell you things you don't know and you don't hear otherwise. So call or write today and request this audio tape and the magazine subscription. They'll both come absolutely free upon your request.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, my friends. How will you be remembered? We were in Philippians, the third chapter, for those of you who've turned in. And let's turn again briefly to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 it is, and beginning in verse 7. Paul writes, after describing the high offices and the special insider status he had in the Jewish hierarchy, he said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Anything we get in this life, in our society, in the system around us, just following the mainstream, is rubbish. compared to Jesus Christ, the true Christ of the Bible, the Christ that sits now at God's right hand, poised to return again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Christ that came down to this earth in the human flesh, emptied himself of his glory, his power, and died for us. Let's think about that. Anything we have in this life is nothing compared to that if we come to know the true Christ. And Paul continued, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, just the letter of the law, which is all he knew, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Paul wanted to know Christ. And I hope every one of you will follow these programs, will follow your Bible, will study your Bible, drink into this Word, and feed upon it. Don't just read it carelessly. Feed on it and see what your Bible really says. If we have the truth, we can prove it again and again, forwards, backwards, inside out. And we on this program do have the truth, my friends. And if you're willing to listen and open your minds and hearts, you'll come to understand that. So come to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If by any means, Paul wrote, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. No, we're not going to go flitting off to heaven with nothing to do. Our hope is the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, Paul wrote, or am already perfected, for I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't worry about what other people think, my friends. Please don't do that. Think about what will God think. What does He consider important? He says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press, I push, I drive myself, the Apostle Paul was saying here in effect, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was going all out. He had a passion to serve the great God who gives us life and breath, a passion to honor the Jesus Christ who died for him, to let that Christ live in him through the Holy Spirit, as I explained in the last program, to walk with Christ, talk with Christ, reflect Christ in everything he thought and said and did. So he said, I press toward that goal. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind of going all out and wanting to stand for something and to go way above and beyond when we need to prepare for the genuine kingdom of God to come back to this earth. Have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. They'll understand that what Paul said here is right. Yes, we have to go all out. We've got to be willing to stand for something, and Paul certainly was, even to the extent of being persecuted, beaten, and everything. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 11 now briefly and see some of the things Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse 24. Paul writes here, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes. Paul was whipped 40 lashes and the blood was running down his back. It would have taken him weeks to heal probably. Every time he sat back and he pulled up, no doubt, was suffering from that beating he took. But that beating occurred five times during his ministry. Over and over, Paul was beaten with lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Three times out in the ocean, shipwrecked. And he said once, a night and a day, he'd been in the deep. But he went through that, got right up, went right back on preaching again. In journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern, his profound concern for all the churches, laying down his life for his brethren. Think about the tremendous impact that this man's life and his work has had upon millions of people for the past 2,000 years. He was willing to get involved. He was willing to stand for something. Are you willing to get involved in serving others? Are you willing to get involved in the very work of the living Christ on earth today? Are you willing to lay down your life for the truth? Think about it. Even if it would bring persecution, are you willing to stand up for God's truth? Are you willing to love others, to serve others, and forgive others, as Jesus Christ and the apostles taught? Are you willing to live this kind of life? You want to deeply meditate on that and think it through. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians now, and chapter 13. This is called the love chapter. It doesn't tell us how to love God, frankly, and that's the first and great commandment, but it does tell us how to love our neighbor, and it's an absolutely beautiful chapter. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, even if he was able to speak in angelic tongues, Paul said, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, just like beating on some pan or something like that. Have no meaning, no greatness, no beauty at all. And though I have the gift of prophecy, lots of people are excited about the details of prophecy. And we tell you about a lot of prophecy on this program to let you know that God is real, that he is intervening now in world affairs. But that's not the big thing. The big thing is to let Christ live his life in you, the real life he lived 1900 years ago. So he said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you know, literally gave away everything. And so he said, even though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Do you suffer long and are you kind? Now you say, well, I'm kind to my family, but are you kind to others? Are you kind to others from other races, other backgrounds, other religions, other people all over the earth who may be different from you? Love does not envy. Do you envy? Do you want more and more? Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. So love, you see, is not rude and does not seek its own. That is so important. We've got to think about it. That's a key verse. Love does not seek its own. Love is outflowing concern. Jesus said you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And you're to think, how can I genuinely serve this other human being? To give, to help, to serve, to encourage, sometimes, yes, to correct and show them where they're wrong if it involves eternal life or something really important. If you saw a man heading down a road and the bridge was washed out, would you stop them and wave at him maybe? Say, wait, wait, the bridge is washed out. Wake up, please don't go there, you'll die. Yes, that would be love. Even though the man might be kind of startled and think at the moment that you were a little bit loud about it, you'd better be loud about it to get his attention. But your motive should be love. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, or does not take account of evil. You see, love doesn't sit around remembering all the evil things others have done. I've had others do many evil things to me, three or four different sets of men down through time, but I don't dwell on that. I don't lose sleep about it. I don't think about it very much ever. I just have to go on, serve God, and I know that God in his way and his time will take care of them. He always has, frankly, and I could describe it. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. You're not happy to hear about someone else's big sins and faults. You must not be that way, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things. Yes, if you really have love, you'll forgive others. You'll carry right on. You won't get bitter. You won't get sidetracked. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I remember reading the story, in fact, I think more than once, but certainly once was very touching, about this terrible multiple rapist and murderer who'd raped women and murdered them and other people too, perhaps, even men, and killing them. And he was there going to be put to death in some state penitentiary. And who was there with him, virtually holding his hand just before he died? His mother. His mother. A real love of a mother will sometimes be magnificent. They will be there at the very end to love and love and help and give and serve. And my mother, in one sense, has loved me and helped me even after her death, because there's still things that she's done that carry on over and help my sisters and me. And we're very grateful for that. We've got to have that love that never quits. Love never fails. But whether they're prophecies, they will fail. They'll go away. You know, they'll all come to an end. It doesn't mean the prophecies won't happen, but they'll be fulfilled, and that's past. But love doesn't get to an end. Whether they're tongues, they will cease. Whether there was knowledge, our present knowledge will, you know, vanish away. There won't be any New York City in a few years. You won't have to worry about the population of New York City. It probably won't be here in its present form, if you understand prophecy, nor will Los Angeles or Toronto or London or whatever. They won't be here. You won't have to worry about the knowledge we have today in that sense. It will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So God tells us about love, the kindness, the warmth, the courtesy, the genuine love and outflowing concern that we should have for fellow human beings. I remember a man named Walter Dickens that I knew years ago that exemplified this to a great extent, a man who was really converted, willing to obey God, keep God's commandments, walk with Christ, but he was constantly kind, courteous, forgiving, helpful in a remarkable way. And people noted that, and I noted that in an unusual way in this man. Even when my teenage sons, children, I should say, were going through their very worst stages back there, and most teenage kids have a bad stage, maybe you figured that out, Mr. Dickinson would say, "Don't worry, Jack or Jill is a good person. They'll outgrow these problems. They're made of good stuff," he would tell me. "They're made of good stuff." Well, all of them have turned out pretty well, and I'm very grateful for that. But whenever I think of Mr. Dickinson, I think of all the kindness, the encouragement, the courtesy, the warmth, the love of Jesus Christ that he constantly demonstrated. He was a Christian, yet Mr. Dickinson feared the true God. He had an awe of that God and always believed in obeying the Ten Commandments and following the example of Jesus Christ, not just human love. He knew that we must obey our Maker, and he knew what real Christianity is all about. And sometimes real Christianity has to help others by shaking them up, by correcting them, and helping them to do better later on. For God tells his faithful ministers to warn the sinning people of this world. Back in Isaiah 58, verse 1, if you'd like to turn back there, Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read here just a couple of verses, back in Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 1, "Cry aloud," God tells us, and he tells his servants, "cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet," God says. "Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." We try to do that on this program, my friends. You perhaps noticed that. But we should do it in love. And we do it in love. And all of you should do it in love if you correct someone. Are you willing to stand for something? You may need to do it in love, but you've got to stand for the truth. And you've got to tell others about the truth, even when it hurts or when they will turn against you. Are you willing to act on the truth of God? Are you willing to go through persecution for the truth of God? Note this vital saying of former British statesman Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for men to do nothing." And that's often the case. For us to do nothing. As we enter a new millennium, a monster will be rising somewhere in Europe. We've told you about that on this program. Cleverly, subtly, insidiously, this evil force will soon win the allegiance and even the adulation of the vast majority of human beings in our entire Western society. It will present to the world a false Christianity. Many of its beliefs and practices will be absolutely idolatrous. Yet billions, frankly billions of Europeans, Canadians, and Americans will go along. Will you? Or will you be willing to stand for the truth of God? Are you studying this book? Do you understand? Are you going to stand for God and for His way? You viewers of tomorrow's world need to decide soon if you're really willing to serve the God of the Bible, the God of creation, or will you just meekly go along with this idolatrous Babylon when it will soon rule over the entire Western world? Think. Again, my friends, remember Peter Marshall's prayer before the United States Senate. Give us clear vision that we may know where to stand and what to stand for. Because unless we stand for something, we shall fall for anything. Revelation 18 describes a terrible idolatrous system. Let's turn back there briefly. Revelation 18 is describing a real terrible idolatrous system. After these things, after describing this 10-nation system in Europe that's going to arise, this great whore, this great false church that will sit on that system, that will ride the beast, and the whole thing God calls Babylon, God tells us in Revelation 18 in verse 1, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried mightily, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations are spiritually drunk from this system. And so he tells us at the end here in verse 4, he says, come out of her, my people. Get out. Don't be part of that system, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Will you follow this system, or will you stand up for the truth of God? In the traumatic years to come, will you be remembered by God at the end of your life as someone who stood for the truth? Will you be remembered by your fellow man, or will you go along? Think about it. Again, I want to urge you to call or write today for an audio tape of this very program, and along with it, you will be sent a free subscription, absolutely free, to Tomorrow's World magazine, a powerful, interesting, beautiful magazine coming out every other month. It will challenge you with articles on end-time prophecy, Christian living, and on the way to genuine success. You'll love this magazine. So call or write today and request your audio tape of this magazine and of this program, and of course your subscription to this magazine. They'll both come absolutely free upon your request.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in every week at this same time to Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will open your eyes to prophetic events and biblical truths you may never have understood before. So take time, my friends, take time in your schedule to tune in each week. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.